kept him in strings and picks. He never had him.
You should have kept his mind in order, because he was so far out.
I was playing at the Hollywood Club. He'd be up at the Clareton Legion.
Yeah.
And he'd come down and say, man, you got any string?
Yeah.
Got any picks?
He was something else.
Then he would book two gigs the same night, right. And sometimes I wouldn't be doing nothing. I'd go on cover for him.
Right, right.
Out of Blaisdell.
Right.
Out there, you know.
What are P.O.s?
I think that's what it was.
P.O.s was in New Kensington.
That was in the 50s. Yeah, that's
right.
Up in
New Kensington. And what's the guy's name? And then John Lemon. What was the guy in Brownsville? Lemon. Wasn't that the guy's name in Brownsville? At the theater? Lemon?
I never played Brownsville. I played License Rank up there.
Okay, because
it's right near there.
Yeah, and then what's that place? Blaisdell. We used to go out there all the time.
Blaisdell.
Go out through the woods, them back roads. Because I was
from Eastport
and Ramsey, And George Green was in that band.
Yeah, George was playing with him then.
Did you ever have an occasion to be in like a guitar, how do I say this, like a guitar seminar where, four or five guitar players and you're playing, and giving instruction and talking to kids and so forth? Nothing like that.
Never did.
Yeah. Did you ever give any lessons? Did you ever do any?
Once. And I didn't have the patience.
Yeah. was it for someone that had some idea of playing?
Well, Henderson Thomas is one of them. I didn't have the patience.
Okay. And you say you learned how to read
from New York, really.
From your New York experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clarence helped me out a lot. Clarence Carter.
Do you read guitar scores or just read chords?
I read the chords and the scores.
Okay.
I can't dot like I used to, though. Yeah. I've gotten old and now my eyes ain't that great, but...
Yeah.
We used to have to dot, especially for them shows.
Well, that's a whole idea,
Out at the Holiday.
Holiday.
I never will forget that one gig I made out there for Lou Rawls when Tony, what's his name, couldn't make it with him out there. They called me up at the last minute from 6471 and asked me if I'd be interested in it out at the Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm. And
that's the last
dotting I did. And I got through it, but it wasn't easy.
Yeah,
no, I hadn't been here in a while.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's something that you just...
And I was familiar with his singing anyway, and his style, so... Mm-hmm. And there wasn't too much difference, Yeah.
Was there any... Was Joe Westray somewhat of an influence on you in terms of it as a guitar player?
Just to hear him, that was it. That made me get interested.
Right,
Yes, I love that steel guitar.
Right.
When Smokey was singing, I went to Chicago.
Yeah. Was there any other guitar players in town?
Yeah, not in town, but up in New York. Then.
I mean, none of them.
What's his name from Homestead? He was real good. He died a young guy. Yes, guitar player. Pace.
Oh, Merle Pace.
But my greatest role was... up in New York when I met Charlie Christian.
Right.
I used to go downbeat and listen to him.
Right.
He was something else.
Yeah.
Well, everybody was influenced. If you listen to Benson, he plays the same kind of chords wise, the style. Yeah. Same way with, what his name, Green that died. Yeah. All of them. They had that influence of Charlie Christian.
Yeah. Me. How long has it been? When was the last time you played? How long has it been?
Well, I played with him about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Over at, they had a get together with the marching band at the Greater Pittsburgh Arts.
Okay,
and they got asked me what I played with him, and I played all. I had a good time.
Yeah.
Played with all the Barnett and all of them.
Yeah, but other than that, you haven't played...
In the church, actually.
In the church,
Whenever I was able to get around back.
Right.
But I still pick it up every once in a while, you know what I mean? And because I told Smitty, and then, I said, man, I still like to get out there and try it again, I miss it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's part of it.
Man, I quit twice and came back twice. This is the third time I quit, and this is the only time I quit. I never went back.
Yeah.
Well, I said, you'll be back? I said, yeah. But I got so disgusted with people not wanting to practice. You know what I mean? And like I told them, I said, and then they wanted to play stuff off the jukebox. And I said, man, you can't make it like that. But they would understand that. See?
Well, you know, one of the things that I found, particularly amongst our
people,
and, you know, we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to put forth. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to put anything into it that we want to come to us, you know. And just like a lot of time. When you were working, did you work deals with managers and proprietors where they would tell you, you know, help me out, but you know, cut me some slack because we're gonna take care of you, and you know, do me a favor and play a little bit for less money than you really wanted to get with the expectation.
Couldn't do it because the guys wouldn't go for it.
Okay. And you're fortunate because a lot of times that has happened.
And you end up playing over the time.
Well,
and playing more than what you should for that same amount of money that you weren't going to get.
Because it was low to begin with. You know.
Tell me about it.
Did you when you were a member of the hold any offices? Were you on any boards or anything pertaining to the union?
No,
nothing.
During that time, I was pretty busy playing, and I didn't have time.
Yeah.
But because George Childress used to ask me about it, and Ruby,
and did you attend?
I've been meetings,
on a regular.
Whenever they had them, I was there.
Was there anything connected with the union in terms of any decisions or how do I say this? Any union issues or anything that really affected your career, you know, like maybe dues raise or scale raise or not raising the scale or
the only thing that affected me, Chuck, is when they merged with 471. And I told them in front, I said, you know what's happening? They're going to get a toehold in every joint that we ever played in, and you ain't going to get in there no more.
Well,
and they did. They did this to a lot of places where we played at.
Where did we ever play the name them?
Well, the black joints, and mostly, you know. There was a lot. They wanted to come in the grill, but which car?
Well, They were coming in the grill.
Yeah, but I mean, they wanted to come in on a more active basis than what they were doing. You know what I mean?
But I'm questioning now. What other black joints would they get a toehold in that would knock us out of work? I didn't see that.
Well, the jobs over in Northside for one thing, Hi-Hat and they were black orientated mostly anyhow. Chappies, they start playing in there, and then they would never give us. You know, a chance to work the other joints that they were working.
Yeah.
And that really, I told them that, I saw that up in 802, so I didn't know what was going on. That's a bigger place up there where there's 1,000 different places to get a job, you know? But I saw that up there, because that place was, and I said, it's going to happen here pretty soon.
Yeah.
It started, some of the places they started, some of the guys started cutting their prices and whatnot, and the guys wouldn't get the job.
Did you do much? Was there ever, when you were in New York at 802, was there ever an occasion when you worked with non-union musicians?
Yes, plenty of times. A lot of us worked
with them. Was there any problem from the union
if they caught you, yes.
Right.
Okay. There was a problem. Same way here. Yeah. It was the same way here.
It was, but it isn't anymore. It's changed. Conditions have changed. I mean, it's ridiculous now. You know, because the right to work laws came in like in the 70s.
You mean they can work without being in the
union? Oh, sure. I mean, you can go anywhere. I mean, I'll tell you a good example. Look at Roger Humphreys. Roger Humphreys hasn't been in the union since maybe the 70s, 72, 74.
Last time I was in it. That's when I quit.
Well, because that was a merger, and we went through all those problems, and then Roger followed Carl Arter and him, and he joined that Splinter group, and then that wasn't nothing. And then Roger just finally joined just last year. But, yeah, we have the right to work laws allow, I'm in the Balcony Band, and that's a mixed group. And the majority of the guys, it's 15-piece band, and if we have five guys in the union, we're lucky. Six, I'll stretch it.
Man, that's
six.
Really a difference.
It is. I mean, things are much different than what you would imagine in terms of, and it's unfortunate because, you know, so a lot of guys, you know, dealing with the union have negative thoughts about the union, you know, things like that. So, and my feelings are much different because I've worked, everything that I've done for 30 years has been through, I'm drawing a picture. You know?
Yeah, I know, that's
nice. So that, you know, so I view things a little differently, and granted, you know, I just didn't get into that kind of work involvement that would turn me bitter against the union. But
I never had none against the union, you know.
And the guys, guys just, a lot of guys just don't seem to think, I mean, they're doing more harm than, okay, for your union dues, right now it's $125.
Yeah, you raise much.
Oh, well, it's gone up gradually. But you get $1,000 death benefit.
That's what they had before when I was...
Well, right. And that came, we made it $1,000. Local 60 only had $500. When the merge came about in 66, then they raised it. Everybody gets $1,000. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling the guys, for what, and dues was only like 68, 70, 80 bucks, whatever it was at that time. And I said, fine. So you do that and think of your family, you know, you're leaving something for your family for your dues.
Mm-hmm.
And did you, how many of the transcriptions, as we call them, MPT jobs, how many of those did you ever do? Like summer parks and summer parks?
Only, I played Northview Heights.
You did half a dozen or so, 8 or 10.
Man, about that, you know.
Yeah, because that, see.
That's usually who they get that first year. If they're any good at all, they're going to
come back
next year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like Cheers now. He's with this.
Yeah, Mystic Knights. Yeah.
Mystic Knights.
Yeah.
My son is out in Moon Township.
Right.
Out there. And they play out there every summer.
They were there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I was trying to say, get the guys, two MPTs will pay your, well now, three MPTs will pay your dues. You know, and that's what I try to tell the guys. And most times, though, you know, and there's a lot of guys that don't even get in on those, you know, they, sometimes they miss out. But it all depends on your group, and if you have something to offer, just like they're saying, if it's a good group and you play this year, they want you back.
They want you back.
Yeah, they want you back, you know.
Not only that, you know, the guys back during the time when I was in there and before I was in there, they didn't want no day jobs.
Well,
the majority of them wanted to live off their plan.
Yeah, right.
And then they complained to you because you weren't getting them enough gigs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then they wanted to go run here and run there. Right. And then when you needed them, it was a pain in the butt.
Yeah, because they didn't have no horns and hock. You know?
Yes, and so I told man, you got to get a job. That's what this world's made up about.
Yeah. When you did you have much of a problem forming your band and getting musicians? You know, when you initially started as a band leader here?
No problem at all. Everybody wanted to play.
Yeah.
The only problem I had later on during the time I played that bass players give me problems.
Mm. You say, did Aaron work with you for a while?
Aaron Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see. Did you ever work with Bob Jones?
Bob Johnson.
Yeah, little light skin.
Yeah.
Hot nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Bob Johnson.
Yeah, because he's in that.
Ghost
Howl. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Sean Dew? Did you ever do anything with Sean Dew?
Yes, I'm with him and
Jimmy Morris.
not Jimmy Morris, the other one, the real dark, and the blonde bass upright.
Oh, Jimmy Royal.
Jimmy Royal,
oh,
yeah.
Right, okay, uh-huh. Yeah, that's way back, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I was playing with them down in Roosevelt Theater and whatnot,
right,
when they used to have the gigs,
right,
down there.
Right.
When Johnny Adams used to give,
yeah,
the gigs around here.
Right, right.
It was, I've been down there
yeah,
around there with them guys for a while.
Yeah. When you, did you ever have an occasion, did anybody ever stand you up or not come to the gig and you know, just, or was everybody pretty loyal?
They were late. That's all I could say, Tim. Late. They wouldn't miss that gig, but they come when they felt like it. You know, then I'd have to argue with management,
right,
about their money, because they wanted all of,
right,
their money,
right,
for that 4 hours or whatever it made,
yeah,
2 hours, whatever.
Most of them were 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Those days.
Yeah, something else.
And in a sense, a lot of the attitudes ain't changed. You know, we're talking 50 years, you know, 40, 50 years later, and the attitudes are still about the same. They don't know what being punctual is about.
I tell some of these young musicians, I say, I've worked with some monsters. Mm-hmm. Bass, McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it wasn't a ballad I wanted to play that he,
mm-hmm,
didn't know what was,
yeah,
going,
right,
on. You know what I mean? When you ask these young kids,
oh,
say, let's play Stella by Starlight or play Little Body and Soul,
yeah,
or whatever, you know what I mean? They ain't into
standard.
That.
No, in the standard, they don't want to.
They don't want to get into that.
They don't want to. But they were learning 2 Chainz tunes, you know.
Where was that?
Yeah. So.
That's the glory of music. Now, you know, Chainz,
yeah,
man.
Songs
without Chainz.
Did you do... And you've never done any recording of your own?
No.
With your group?
No.
And,
I got one little tape in there. Somebody taped of us, and
right,
and it's half distorted.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, on a tape, and they sound like any
yeah,
Phil Austin band back,
yeah,
in the
yeah,
50s and the
yeah,
40s. You know, they were
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
But with Clarence Clark, remember Laddie?
That
played the organ and piano.
Yeah,
he played with me for years too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that's like. In that Ricky Lanier time,
mm-hmm,
right? Okay,
he
yes,
played with
wow,
me about almost 10-15 years.
That's the first time I heard that.
He left and went to California and died out there. You know,
was it?
Yeah, about 7-8 years ago,
yeah,
I guess. And now he was a gifted musician.
Huh.
This guy read, write anything,
yeah,
arrange anything you want to.
Yeah.
But he was a guy that,
yeah,
like, he had 3 or 4 jobs. He worked at the post office. When he got tired, he quit. And so, you know, but he was
yeah,
just a good
talented
musician.
Guy. Yeah.
Well, him, Rod Barnett, and
Santee
was real
yeah,
good. That's my man. I knew him
oh,
when he was a kid.
Mm.
His grandmother lived next door to my mother, and
right,
I used to see him come along.
Yeah.
And when he was like 8-9 years old,
yeah,
you know. But I was talking about on this tape that I have, his Rod Barnett's on there, George Green, heck, Clarence Collier, Laddie.
Huh.
It's pretty nice little
yeah, little group. Yeah,
yeah, it was sound real good, man. If things ain't what they used to be, it was the song,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
mm-hmm,
it was up tempo, boy. It
yeah,
was.
did you do any arranging of music, you know, for your group or?
Well, not on paper, but
not
I would
paper,
tell them what
right,
I wanted them to play,
right,
different syllables and different.
Right.
Different
yeah,
overtures and
yeah,
why I wanted this and that, you know, and
yeah,
they get it.
Right.
I let Smitty take care of the horns, you know,
right.
Smitty would
yeah,
put it down on paper for me
right,
if they wanted it, you know.
Yeah.
And I take care of the rhythm section.
Yeah. Let's see. When you first came back from you came here from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have, I mean, what were your thoughts in terms of how Pittsburgh, you know, how the musicians were compared to what you had just left in New York?
Well, it's a smaller place for one thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I was in New York, I was amazed at the the musicians they had up there that was not working, that were musicians.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Calibers.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I come here, and his guy's gigging.
Right.
You understand? And you couldn't light a candle to
you wonder how
they was out there, you know. That was the most amazing thing I've seen, you know.
And part of it is we just, I mean, there's a number of musicians in this town that have never done any traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what it's like beyond
that
fence. You got to get out there.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, you got to get it because that experience in itself. Yes, sir. Puts everything in a different perspective for you, and it'll make you want to play, you know, because that's what's out there. You know, but there's too many guys around here just never had that experience, and like you're saying, and they're working, and they're satisfied.
And they think they're great. You know, some of them, I just told them, I said, man.
Wait a minute.
I wish I could take you up if the place still there. I said, the Cecil Hotel up in New York, and let you listen to some sessions of guys that haven't maybe worked in a year or two.
Yeah.
You guys are loyal. They sleep with them horns.
Sure.
You know,
all the time. That's all they do.
That's it. That's their bread and butter.
And then in rehearsal bands, because when I was up there, I went to just as a observer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's guys sitting around. I mean, and if you're late coming to the rehearsal, you lose your chair.
That's it.
Because whoever's there gets it. Whoever's there gets it.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, for those sessions, especially recording sessions.
Yeah.
You better be there.
Did you, and you said you played Apollo with Phil?
Yes, about twice, that's all.
A couple of times with him, mm-hmm. and somebody else you said?
Well, Fats Domino.
Fats Domino.
Only needed a couple of gigs. I couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
The guy was much in love with himself and couldn't play nothing.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned. But he sold records and he made money.
And his the guitar player that was with him for a while later was with us with Lloyd, Archie McCoy.
I know Archie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he was with us. And then there was another guy, Sam Jones. Jones. No, Archie wasn't with him. Archie was the guy from New York that Lloyd had. I'll tell you what happened. We had a 9-piece group that were playing in the theaters and you know, making the thing. That was Lloyd's group. Then he had, somebody from the islands had contacted him early in the year about us going to the islands. So he wrote the contract on the 9-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
We expanded to 12 men, you know, for the theaters and so forth. And Archie was on the band. We played in Eatonville, Florida. Eatonville, Florida, just below Miami Beach, down there, and we were on our way to the islands. And Lloyd came in and told us, you know, we were going there and they were only going to pay us $100 for the thing. And that's not enough money, you know, to go to the islands.
Mm-hmm.
So Archie, and I'm ready to do like this, and Archie said something about Lloyd, the money, blah, 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 and they said, see you in New York. They fired him right then and there. And I said, whoops, because I was too far away from home for them to dump me, you know.
And I said, I had to pay to get home.
Yeah. So,
was D with y'all then when you played with D Ware?
No, not with Lloyd. Not with Lloyd. No.
Was that Lloyd Price you
worked with? No. He never had a female singer. I mean, not during the time that I know of. You know, because we had a guy out of Beckley, West Virginia, Bernard Byers, that sang with us.
It's
that
Tiny.
Tiny.
I saw her up in New York.
Yeah, she was with Diz.
She was with Diz. She came out there on the island where I was living at and played out there in that big armory.
Yeah.
And
well, I don't know who Dolores Ware was with.
Dee played with one of them big name bands during the 50s. She sang with them and she quit them.
Yeah, I don't know who that could have been.
Came home.
I don't know who that could have been.
And my ex-wife, she was up there with Mercer.
Mercer Ellington.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the Valley. That was my first one. Me and her played in church together as kids.
Wait a minute. That's
when the Rascala was open.
That was one of my first gigs working with, my second gig, I'll say it like that. I worked with her, Adolph, Alan Smart, and I'm trying to think who the bass player was. But yeah, I worked with her for quite a while.
Yeah, I was in New York while she was here.
Yeah, and then I ran into her one day. I was downtown. I think this was maybe in the 60s. But I ran into her by accident, and I was. But she gave up singing, right?
Yeah, she's up in Detroit and was singing. That's where she lives at.
Oh,
well, she can stay into it, though.
Oh, okay. But I'm, because we used to come out here to Rankin, I mean, up on, or North Braddock. Where did she live over there?
She lived in, that's where I live, North Braddock.
Right, because we used to come in and pick her up to go to, I mean, Valley Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Was she ever with Little Jordan for a while?
Nah, I wouldn't know, because I left here. I was in the service.
Okay.
When I came back, she was with Mercer.
Okay.
I never saw her sing at the Vasquez.
Okay.
With the band over there.
Right, right.
Or down at Perry.
Perry
Hotel?
The Perry Bar, yeah.
Yeah,
because Tony was in there a lot. Johnny Wilson in there.
Yeah, Johnny Wilson.
Yeah, with that group. Right. Okay. It's a small world, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And you've never done any, you've never taught. You know, given lessons and stuff like that. But what advice would you give to a youngster coming along, a guitar player or a young musician, you know, a kid that is somewhat thinking about music as a career?
First place, I tell them to keep it cheap. Just don't know how they're going to stick with it or not stick with it. In other words, I wouldn't go overboard like these parents. That's one thing I wouldn't teach, buying all this electric guitar and all that. I tell them get a nice acoustical guitar, you know what I mean? And learn standard chords and how to break them chords down note-wise, you know what I mean? They ain't for that. They want to ping, 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 ping.
Yeah,
you know.
They want to play what they hear.
That's what they, that's it. Yeah. That's what I tell them. Take your time and hey, there's greater things out there in music than just the stuff you hear in the day.
Yeah.
Boy, they just don't even know, man.
Yeah.
If they just could get into the old standards.
Yeah.
And break that music down, man. Just listen to what they're playing. I just listened, I don't know if you watch this program, about 3 weeks ago, Marcellus.
Oh, yeah, with his education.
No, this is the big band.
Yeah, Lincoln Center. Yeah,
yeah, you saw that.
I didn't see that one, because it's been, but I've seen some of the
videos. These guys are.
Oh, yeah.
There's just many blacks in there, there's whites in these guys,
yeah.
Man. They're phenomenal. I'm telling you, man, that doggone trombone section got me.
Yeah, well, that one kid is Joe Westray's nephew.
Oh, yeah?
And grandson.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that Ronnie Westray.
Is that?
That's Joe.
I heard that name, doing that program.
That's Joe's grandson.
I'll be Joe.
And that Wycliffe Gordon, mm-hmm. You know, they've teamed up together. They've got a couple albums out there. But when I talked, see, we went down to see the Lincoln Center Orchestra when it came here, about 3 years ago they came down to the Lebanon.
Yeah, heard about it. Yeah.
Okay. And David Berger, the guy that was musical director, but and when he introduced the musicians, you know, Ronnie Westray and so forth, and then after the show was over, Joe's sister took him up to the Hill House, see? And Horace and him got kind of weird towards him. He's, you know,
of course, is it
right? Okay. So, but Catherine, she gave me, I have a couple articles on him and some stuff, and then because he graduated from South Carolina State, you know, the black school down there,
mm-hmm.
And he was an honor grad, and then he hooked up with Winton and Miss Wycliffe Gordon, and then he later, you know, he got on that Lincoln Center. But he can play them.
I heard him. I tell you, that trombone section like make me go crazy if you're listening to him. And that reed section, don't even mention it.
Yeah. And you, what else would you, you know, kind of lay on some of these kids in terms of?
Don't get involved if you're not going to stick with it, really, because it doesn't make sense. It's nice to learn music. It's a nice thing to have to relax with it. You know it.
Yeah.
If you could play any kind of instrument, I think I advise all kids to learn how to play.
Well, right, you should.
See, you know, because it's very relaxing, and it gives them a better outlook on life too.
Yeah.
If they understand music, you know. So, but that's about it. But you can't get that to these kids here, unless they really want to play. I got a nephew that can play. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He played down there, Doc. Me, what's the name of the group? He plays alto.
Oh.
He was leader of the band, Cameron. Jonathan. Jonathan Cameron. Alto.
I've seen that name, but I've never heard them.
Shades is the name of the group.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah,
and they used to play the balcony all the time too, up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Now here's a boy that's been to Duquesne School of Music. He's good at it. He can write, range, and read. He's only in his 20s, and he's just phenomenal, you know. And but his thing is, he's trying to ram music down people's throats that people aren't interested in.
Yeah, right.
He's into this future.